From Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our studios at UW La Crosse. There are some changes on the way here at WPR, as you've heard us talking about over the last several weeks, and it's coming right around the corner. Starting next week, we're moving all the talk programming to one network. All the music programming is going to be on that network, with some expansions into morning and afternoon drive. And the talk network will be called WPR News, and the music network will be called WPR Music. I'm super excited about that. Along with that, we're changing the way we produce local content. So instead of hearing standalone talk shows like Newsmakers in La Crosse, and we've got a couple of other ones around the state, you're going to hear content producers like me and like our colleague Shireen Seward, who's been on Newsmakers many times, and others doing local segments as part of Morning Edition. So it's going to be airing during Morning Edition on the WPR News Network. That's another thing I'm really excited about. It gives our local content exposure to just an enormous audience by comparison to what we normally have. But that does mean that we're retiring Newsmakers, which has been part of the media landscape in La Crosse for decades. I think Newsmakers has been on over 30 years. And today we're saying so long to Newsmakers, might have been even 40 plus years. So joining me to do that are, I say some recent hosts of the show, but I've been on the show for 5 years, so I don't know how recent it is. But I'm joined by Hope Kerwin, who's a La Crosse-based reporter for WPR News. Hope, welcome back to Newsmakers.
Happy to be here.
Tell me, when you hosted the show from when to when, roughly? I know your tenure ended in 2019.
Yes, 2019, and I started shortly after starting with WPR in 2015.
Okay, so a little over 4 years there. Maureen McCollum is with us as well. She's the executive producer of Wisconsin Life. Maureen, you were in La Crosse before you took over Wisconsin Life. Tell me what years you worked on Newsmakers in La Crosse.
So I worked on Newsmakers as a co-host and co-producer from about 2010 to 2015, but I also worked on a few Newsmakers episodes when I was a student intern baby at Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. So I just have nothing but really fond memories of working on this show, and I'm really excited to talk about it today.
That's fantastic. We're going to hear some audio evidence of those early days later. John Davis is with us as well. John is a WPR news producer. He produces the news during Morning Edition. He's also producer of the Wisconsin Today Morning News podcast, which you can subscribe to on your favorite podcatcher. And John has been part of Newsmakers for a long time in many, many roles. He still meets with me. He grants me an hour a week to just brainstorm about what's going on in the news in La Crosse and finding out things to talk about. And after all these years, he's still dedicated to this program. John, when did your time on Newsmakers begin?
Oh, gosh. Almost from the second I came back professionally. A few months, probably in 91, I came back.
Okay.
I was a student from the mid-80s to 89. Okay. And then I came back professionally in 91, and I would say in 92 I started as host.
Even in this room, at this virtual table, we have a long track record of Newsmakers hosts and producers, but I want to go just to start our conversation, just to set the scene. I want to go in the Wayback Machine to some of the pretty early days of Newsmakers. I found this old clip from it has to be the mid 70s at least. Let's listen to this and see what happens.
Hello, this is Newsmakers. I'm Jack Marlowe. Our guest today is the president of the American Holistic Medical Association, Dr. Norman Shealy of La Crosse. Reporters on Newsmakers, Paul Lowry of WKTY and WSPL Radio, Jim Homeland of Independent News and Features, Barry Carrett of WXOW-TV, Bill Hole of WLCX and WLXR Radio, Scott Stein of WIZM and WIZM-FM, and Bob Sequist of WLSU. We'll begin our questioning today with Paul Lowry.
Doctor, during the summer there was a national holistic conference.
So several parts of that that I really love. I love the teletype at the beginning. It's just, I mean, you know, youngsters in the business don't even know what that is, so that's amazing. And then I love the wonderful synthesized theme music, and I searched high and low for a standalone recording of that theme music so it could be our theme music today, and I can't find it anywhere, much to my dismay. So, but this listening to this clip sets up one of the things we should talk about, which is how the program has changed over the years. Because as this clip indicates, in the old days, Newsmakers was a guest who would come, or maybe sometimes a couple of guests who would come to the studio and be joined by a whole panel of journalists from the local area and be questioned in turns by all of them. John, how long did that panel-style interrogation-type program last for Newsmakers?
Well, some of the history that we have suggests Newsmakers started in the spring of 1974. And if you do the math, that's 50 years this year. So we're ending it after 50 years. Wow. Jack Marlowe is a great voice to have on. I didn't know Jack Marlowe, but I heard a lot of stories about Jack over the years. He was an early program director in the 1970s. People like a longtime volunteer, Terry Rochester, our former news director, Robert Mullins, Gene Purcell, myself, John Ghetto, Maureen, and Hope, and Ezra, we've all either hosted or served as panelists on the show at various times. And it was that format from 1974 until 2010.
Okay.
May of 2010, when we went to the single host, multiple guest format.
It's so interesting because that format change reflects so poignantly the change that we've seen in local media, and it highlights just how important what we lose as media organizations begin to consolidate and begin to downsize their local news operations. It would be really difficult to assemble a weekly panel of so many local journalists nowadays. Is that part of what led to that shift? Like back in 2010, was that change already happening, John?
Yeah, we had seen several years where local news organizations just really weren't responding well to our offers to come and sit down and talk to a panelist. I mean, the news cycle has changed so much since Newsmakers originally started. Nobody's got a half hour anymore to delve into an issue like we used to do on Newsmakers and still do for the most part. And the local TVs, radio, newspapers, they were unreliably coming to the show to actually ask questions of Newsmakers.
When you look back at those earlier, the earlier years of the program that you were involved in, and even stories from before your time, and we have some recordings from the early days of the program as well. John, who were some of those guests who were really memorable from those times?
Oh gosh, we really had a wide variety of national guests, and the way we did that, we did an awful lot of local issues as well. But it's some of those national people who came through who kind of stand out in your head as our famous guests, I guess. Jimmy Carter, former presidential candidate, was on the show in 1975, several months before he was elected president. He is probably one of three former presidential candidates in 1988, and I remember this because I was a student. Paul Simon, who was, I believe, a Democratic senator from the state of Illinois, came through when he was campaigning for president. He did not do very well. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has become a recent presidential candidate in this cycle, was a candidate well long before he became thought of as a presidential candidate. We've also had psychologist Timothy Leary. He, of course, famous for his research into LSD and one of the famous people from the 1960s. The phrase turn in, tune in, drop out is associated with him. And President Richard Nixon called Timothy Leary the most dangerous man in America when he was president. Wow. So in 1977, he was making a national tour of college campuses, and he came to La Crosse.
So we'll hear from Timothy Leary. We've got a clip from his visit later in the program. But just the memories of Jimmy Carter, it was interesting because that presidency encompassed my earliest years on the planet. And the campaign was actually the year before I was born. So I it was fun for me to listen to that clip.
I'm not going to withdraw. I'm not interested in being vice president. I'll be there when the last vote's counted at the convention.
Even in that short clip, we hear some differences between what we expect from presidential candidates then versus now. Carter talking about how he was going to go to the convention to actually see if he could become his party's nominee, and he wasn't going to drop out before that. Of course, now these things are a foregone conclusion long before conventions.
We had him on very early in the campaign. I don't think he wasn't polling near the top at the time.
Okay.
But, you know, he was raising awareness of who he was and talking about some of his ideas. The show is nothing like you hear today from presidential candidate.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting to hear. It's interesting to hear that that youthful version of Jimmy Carter too, because I think most of us are familiar with his post-presidential work with the Carter Foundation and with other organizations, where it's a much older sound from President Carter. We've got more clips to play, more memories to share of newsmakers. We'll step aside for just a minute and continue our conversation in a moment as we're saying goodbye to newsmakers today. I'm happy to be joined by Hope Kerwin, John Davis, and Maureen McCollum, who were all hosts of Newsmakers and currently are still wonderful colleagues and friends, and I'm pleased to have them here today as we say goodbye to Newsmakers after what John pointed out has been 50 years. I did the math wrong on that when I mentioned it earlier. So if you'd like to listen to part of this conversation again, you can find it on our website. More importantly, you can find our episodes going back, not all the way to the beginning, but for quite a few years. We have episodes online at WPR.org/newsmakers. And that archive is going to stay there even after this program concludes. So feel free to go to that archive, listen to an old show, and let us know what you think about it. That's at WPR.org/newsmakers. Our program continues in just a moment here on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwestern Wisconsin Bureau, joined today by WPR News reporter Hope Kerwin, WPR News producer John Davis, and Wisconsin Life executive producer Maureen McCollum, all my colleagues at WPR and all formerly hosts of Newsmakers. And I'm eager to talk to them about their involvement in the show. Another voice from the past, though, one whom we all knew. I came over an old clip of Gene Purcell hosting this show. We all remember Gene, I knew him less than all of you, so I feel jealous though. But Gene was the former director of Wisconsin Public Media. He tragically passed away a few years ago. But before he became the director of Wisconsin Public Media and before he moved to Madison to work for the Educational Communications Board, he was in many different roles here in La Crosse at Wisconsin Public Radio and before that at WLSU as a standalone college radio station. He was the news director. He was the station manager. He was the host of Newsmakers. He hosted music shows and just his... His involvement ran the gamut, and I found a fun little clip with him that I'd like to begin this segment with, and so let's listen to Gene introducing a familiar guest on Newsmakers.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm Gene Purcell. Congress has adjourned for this year anyway, a year which got off to a slow start with ethics probes of then-House Speaker Jim Wright, but then the pace picked up as the Congress looked at the issue of flag desecration, catastrophic health care, and finally, Congress voted itself a pay raise. But much more than that happened this year, and with us today to talk about that is Wisconsin's 3rd District Congressman Steve Gunderson, who will be giving us his perspective on what happened over the past year. Panelists today and newsmakers include Dave Soley.
So there's Gene introducing Steve Gunderson, a longtime congressman from this area. I think we could all talk about fond moments remembering Gene, and I think we've had other opportunities to do that, so we won't get into all of that here. But just from a perspective of remembering all of the colleagues that have shared this desk with us over the years, how many hosts do you think Newsmakers has had over the years, John?
I have no idea. I have very little knowledge of the first, say, 15 or 20 yeah. years of the show. Jack Marlow is a name that sticks out because I've heard the stories. The name I forgot to mention when I was going through hosts is Sandra Harris, who I worked together with for probably 20 years. She was my news director. And she was my right-hand person on the show. Sandra would usually wait for a full panel of journalists, and then she'd do 25 minutes of a half-hour show of questions. And I would always shoot her the skunk eye about halfway through. hurry up kind of thing, because we need to move it on. But that's one of the things I loved about Sandra is nobody made her do something she didn't want to do.
No.
So, Maureen, tell me about – John was sharing a story about Sandra there. You've had a lot of memorable moments on Newsmakers. We seldom have a conversation together that doesn't somehow end up on your tenure of on Newsmakers. Can I embarrass you for a minute?
Yes.
So somebody sent me a clip of what might be your very first time on Newsmakers. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. My first time on Newsmakers was when Paul Rusesabagina, who was the subject of the movie Hotel Rwanda, he was a speaker on the UWL campus, and John Davis had booked him to be on Newsmakers. And I remember John asking me, do you want to be on the media panel? And I was so nervous because this was 2007. I would have been a senior in high school. I'd never asked live questions on the air. And, John helped me through the process. I think we crafted the questions together. He let me go first. And it was absolutely terrifying, but also a thrill. So yeah, we could go ahead and listen.
Paul Rusesabagina helped protect more than 1,200 refugees during the genocide in the African nation of Rwanda in 1994. His story is the inspiration for the movie Hotel Rwanda. He's visiting UW-La Crosse as part of the Distinguished Lecture Series. And we'll get today's show going with a question from Maureen McCollum from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for being here today.
You're the most welcome.
I guess just to start out, I was wondering if you could inform our audience, our listeners, taking us back to 1994 and what exactly occurred between the Hutus and the Tutsis in Rwanda.
Actually, this is a long story which is more or less rooted in our history.
So, Maureen, that's going.
Baby.
I know, you're going back not quite 20 years for that one.
Oh,
Oh my gosh. It's wild to think back on that interview again, because I just like to think about how far I've come as a broadcaster. And, you know, when I think back on my time on Newsmakers, I just think back on it so fondly. I grew so much, not only as a journalist, but as a citizen of La Crosse. Like, you know, it was so amazing when we got to interview these noteworthy people who would come to visit the different campuses. But I think about the conversations that we had with local people who really cared about making La Crosse a better place. I think about the times that John and I interviewed the different politicians in town. And I think back to, just all the work that John had in helping me grow as an interviewer or just get to know the community. I mean, it's really, really amazing. And it was a lot of work. Working on Newsmakers was a lot of work, but I just look back on it so fondly. And I'm just so happy that we were able to provide this space for these conversations for people in La Crosse.
Hope, you were not far along in your career when you started as the host of Newsmakers. What was the biggest challenge for you when you first started hosting a talk show, interviewing people week after week, and what was your approach to the show in your earlier days?
Yeah, I think that hosting Newsmakers was definitely a challenge for me. You know, my training as a journalist had been primarily focused on news reporting. And so to come in and to learn the craft of hosting an hour-long conversation, of guiding people, of knowing when to, you know, let someone talk and you know, continue on, knowing when to steer the conversation in a new direction. I mean, those really are things you just have to learn by doing it. And mm-hmm. So I was really lucky to have John as well as a mentor in this, as well as John Gatto, our former regional manager here in La Crosse, really helped me understand kind of the difference between interviewing someone for a news story and really sitting down and hosting and guiding an hour-long conversation. They're similar in some ways. You know, the ethics of journalism, they are the same, but the craft, the way you're thinking about the conversation is different. And it requires you to be a little bit more in the moment, I think, and be able to respond to people as they're talking.
What's a conversation that's particularly memorable for you from your time as the host?
There's a couple. I would say one that has always really stuck out to me was getting the opportunity to speak with two DACA recipients from the area in 2017. So this was shortly after the Trump administration had moved to end the program, the DACA program. And, you know, we really got the opportunity to talk with people who had directly benefited from DACA and to really hear about what the end of this program would mean for their lives. And I think we have a clip from one of from that conversation. Jocelyn Calixto, she was a local DACA recipient, talking about, you know, what this really meant for her life.
My sister, in fact, is studying to be a high school teacher because she wants to impact, like, the high schoolers, you know, and help them become better people. If she loses her DACA, she's not able to do that anymore. She loves, you know, being part of the community, and she would love to keep going and help, you know, with the younger ones. But if she doesn't have her DACA, how is she going to do that?
Being with people in such poignant moments is really it's really a rare honor in such a way that people would share that part of themselves with you. I'm curious. We could go around the table and talk about this. When you have such a limited amount of time with someone, you might even be meeting them for the first time moments before you turn on a microphone and ask them to tell you about their most vulnerable moments. How difficult or easy is it, or how hard was it for you to learn? We can each talk in turns if you want about how you establish that kind of a rapport with someone in such a short amount of time. Hope, we just heard you talking to this guest. So tell us about your approach.
I think being prepared, understanding the issue, the context around an issue, is an important place to start for that conversation. So that way, when you're, you know, in before a guest, you just know kind of the context around that conversation, around what to ask. And, you know, I do think it requires some of the things you can't hear on the radio, of that interaction with that person in person really kind of helps build that rapport, I think. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that it, you know, you're asking someone to come in and be very brave to talk on the radio about their experience. Mm-hmm. And you always try to share that gratitude with them throughout the process.
Yeah, yeah. Maureen, you have a lot of experience in not only talking to people, but also as an editor and the executive producer of Wisconsin Life. You guide others in how to have these conversations. What's your approach?
Absolutely. Just like what Hope said, making sure you're fully prepared. I think when you're talking with someone, and if you bring up a detail of their life that perhaps you read about somewhere or heard them mention somewhere, that can go a long way, because I think people, when they know you've done your research, they're going to take you a little more seriously. I also tried to build that rapport with someone, if I can, if the time permits, like before the interview starts. So maybe it's a phone conversation that we've had, and to go over the ground rules of what the interview is, because if someone is talking about something incredibly vulnerable, like maybe there's a moment of trauma associated with their story, I want to make sure that they are comfortable talking about it. If in the moment they decide they don't want to talk about it, that they can feel safe to let me know, like, I don't really want to touch on that right now, and then we can move on. I also think just a smile and eye contact and genuine listening goes a long way. You know, when we're on the radio, people can't see what we're doing. But the person that we're talking to can, and when they're talking with us, to smile and show that, what is the StoryCorps line? Listening is an act of love. To be there in the moment and fully engaged with what that person is saying, I think creates that sense of trust and community and understanding that can bring out the best in people, and bring on really strong interviews. Because at the end of the day, when we're doing these interviews, we're just hoping that people get to understand one another a little better throughout the lacrosse community and across the state. But specifically on Newsmakers, it's to really help to get to know who lives in your community and what's going on in your community.
John, is there a secret sauce, so to speak, to getting people to, you know, because a guest could show up and the guest is going to be there no matter what, but how they answer the questions is going to depend on the approach that you take as an interviewer. Is there a secret to getting them to be an open and warm and communicative guest, or to get to those vulnerable moments?
Well, most of my career, I hosted the media panel. So I was always going last with my questioning.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'd have 20 minutes to do, and sometimes I'd have 2 minutes. So I guess I didn't worry about over-preparation there for the most part, although preparation, I think, is the key to most interviews. When you're doing it just one-on-one, start slowly and work your way up. And if they aren't answering your questions, then ask the questions in a different way.
Yeah.
And I also just want to add, like, I think about the rapport that John Davis built with people across the community, you know, in the decades that he's been at WPR. And that's always something I really admired as a reporter and still continue to admire, because he gained the trust of so many people, and especially politicians. Like, I mean, you know, John and I were working together on Newsmakers during the Act 10, the moment when that was being debated. Mm-hmm. And that was all going on. And this was times that, you know, we started experiencing certain politicians not wanting to talk to certain members of the media. But John could always get people on the phone because they knew he treated them fairly, that we provided a space via WPR and on Newsmakers to talk about local issues that, you know, their constituents cared about. And so I think when we talk about rapport and trust, a lot of it has to do with you know, those connections that John built over the years. So
thanks for being here.
Nice. Thanks, Maureen.
Yeah,
I think our organization has a big role to play in that. I mean, we're well respected by a lot of people, and I think that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. Another story. I want to turn back to Hope. Another story that you covered was the flooding that happened in south of La Crosse County, in Vernon County and elsewhere. In 2017, 18, tell me about your coverage there.
Yeah, so throughout my time as the Newsmakers host, I've always been the La Crosse-based reporter. So, you know, I spent a lot of time in 2017, 2018 covering flooding, particularly the August 2018 flood really impacted a lot of people. And, you know, we were really lucky to have a conversation the following year in 2019. You know, through the work of an oral history project called Stories from the Flood, to actually revisit that big news event that, you know, everybody heard about and I reported on in the moment, but to go back and really to just dig into the real human impacts of that flood was definitely one of the highlights of my career on Newsmakers. So I think we'll have a clip from that.
The house started to shudder at that point. And the water was coming up through the hardwood floors and the carpeting. And we started to get about 6 inches in the main floor. So we got scared at that point. Grabbed our little dog, and I was at the end, the electricity was still on. So I was flicking the porch light, trying to get somebody's attention to come and get us. And across the street, kitty corner from us, a neighbor, her husband, is part of fire and rescue. So she kept calling him and saying, we're known as Grandma and Grandpa in the neighborhood. And she said, you got to go get Grandma and Grandpa off the porch. Something happened to their house. So they came with a backhoe, and they got us off the front porch, and we were in the bucket of the backhoe, and they took us two blocks up to where the water was manageable, and then they took us in a police car to the school, which is where we stayed the rest of the night.
So this was Judy Mixter from Coon Valley talking about her experience living through the August 2018 flood with her and her husband. And I just think, you know, that this is such a great example of you know, a really big news story in southwestern Wisconsin, you know, and how Newsmakers allowed us to really go deeper than just the headlines at the moment, and really talk about the human impacts of that big news story for our region, and you know, one that continues to be a big issue in our region, flooding.
Speaking of big impact stories, and also our situation on the edge of Wisconsin, on the way to Minnesota, radio signals don't know any state boundaries. So we have plenty of listeners in Minnesota, in let's see, that'd be southeastern Minnesota, southwestern Wisconsin. Maureen, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of a clip you sent me about a show that followed a couple of people from Wisconsin as they were going to Minnesota to get married. Talk about that clip.
Right. So back in 2013, that was when Minnesota legalized same-sex marriage, and at the time, same-sex couples could not get married in Wisconsin. So we knew we needed to cover this on Newsmakers and talk about it since it was a regional issue. Radio signals know no state borders, and neither do humans who live in the Driftless region. So we had heard of a couple from Fountain City, Cindy Killian and Beth Cherney, pretty well-known folks within the area. We heard that the day marriage was legalized in Minnesota, or the first day that people could go get married, that they were going to go to Wabasha County and get married in the courthouse. We were fortunate that they let me tag along. So I did a story from the courtroom that featured their ceremony and the voices of their friends and their reaction. And it was really cool to be able to bring listeners of Newsmakers to that ceremony. We should take a listen.
The moment's arrived, and the couple and about 30 guests file into the courtroom. During the 10-minute ceremony, the two face each other holding hands. Cherney is wearing a blue sundress with turtles, and Killian is in a blue polo shirt and khaki shorts. Cherney and Killian giggle during the ceremony and trade vows rooted in Native American spirituality. They exchange rings, and finally...
Now therefore, by the power and authority vested in me by the state of Minnesota, I declare that you are married. Please share your happiness with each other now and forever. Congratulations.
So a really impactful opportunity for you to tell a story that is really important for those people. What's it right. like to know that they entrusted you with an opportunity to do that?
I mean, really amazing that they, I mean, they trusted that I would tell this story fairly and document this moment in history. We had Beth and Cindy on Newsmakers a week later just to reflect on that moment in time, because, you know, I didn't want to take too much of their time on the day of their wedding. But, you know, we played that story, and then I asked them, how's married life treating you, you know, a week later. And then we really dove into, wow, can we believe that this truly is an historical moment? And we were able to talk about it on Newsmakers. And it's wild thinking back, like, this was only about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And how big of a deal it was back then, and how now it's the law of the land.
Yeah, that back then it was, this was happening piecemeal, state by state, if I'm not mistaken. How long was it before, I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, I know
you
it's didn't research.
How long was it before they could have done the same thing in Wisconsin?
So the marriage in Minnesota took place August of 2013. Uh-huh. It would have been October of 2014 when they would have been able to get married in Wisconsin. So okay. A little over a year later.
We're talking about some of the various opportunities Newsmakers has had to cover important events in and around the Cooley region and the greater Driftless area through its 50-year tenure here on Wisconsin Public Radio, and before Wisconsin Public Radio, it was part of WLSU in La Crosse. I'm Ezra Wall, the host of the show, and I'm joined today by Hope Kerwin, John Davis, and Maureen McCullum, who all are colleagues still at WPR and all are former hosts of Newsmakers as we bid farewell to this program. We're going to take a quick time out here. Remember, if you'd like to share a memory with us about your experience listening to Newsmakers, we'd love to hear from you. You can always get in touch. Newsmakers@WPR.org is the email address. Newsmakers@WPR.org. And our conversation will conclude here in a moment on Wisconsin Public Radio. Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse, joined today by Maureen McCullum, the executive producer of Wisconsin Life, John Davis, the news producer for Morning Edition and the producer of Wisconsin Today Morning News, and Hope Kerwin, the La Crosse-based reporter for WPR News. I'm grateful for them all joining us. All three are former hosts of Newsmakers, and we are here talking about some just sort of bidding farewell to a show that is important to us all as WPR is embarking on some programming changes and reallocating some of our local content coverage resources so that we can have some really good opportunities moving forward. But also that means saying goodbye to this program, which we're doing today. So I thank you all for joining me. I want to go around and talk about the biggest change that we've seen in how radio is produced and how audiences find and listen to radio content. I think that might help if we as professionals give sort of that peek behind the scenes, it might help some of our audience understand a little bit better some of the changes that are coming in the future and what makes them so necessary. I don't know who wants to start with that, but I'm going to put John on the spot. because John has given us a lot of great information about the earlier days of Newsmakers, and he's been here for so much of the tenure of this show and involved in its production on a weekly basis for so many years that you're probably the best person to speak to what the differences are in our industry between, let's say, the late 1980s, early 90s when you started and now.
Well, I just think the news cycle is so much different today. Life moves a lot quicker today with social media and your cell phone and the internet. And I'm one of the few people at WPR, I think, who remembers how we covered things before the internet. And it wasn't as quick. And it wasn't as, you know, you weren't moving on to the next thing right away.
Mm-hmm.
So there was more time to deal with the issues in a half hour or ultimately an hour show that Newsmakers became.
Yeah, Maureen, the clip we played of John introducing you, your very first appearance on Newsmakers, that was not quite 20 years ago, but it was a while ago. What changes in audience habits, in media production habits, have been the most conspicuous to you in that time?
I mean, kind of the most obvious is people's attention spans, and time is just more valuable. People are really, really busy, and so as much as I like to think that people have time every day to sit back and really take in a one-hour show about important issues, it's just not always the reality of media consumer habits. I mean, even for someone like me who loves Newsmakers and loves the different talk shows that WPR creates, I have to try to find time to listen to them. And so, you know, I think when we think ahead about covering regional issues and important issues for the community, you know, if there's a big topic that could require a hour-long conversation, maybe there's space found for it. But we can still at WPR cover issues surrounding the Mississippi River, surrounding flooding, addiction, transmission lines, all the things we've talked about on Newsmakers, that can still be covered in a way that maybe fits people's lifestyles a little differently. Think about the way that we are presenting our episodes or the news via digital articles. That's completely changed from when I first started too. So allowing people to access this information on their phone or if they find it via social media, those are the biggest changes. So I hope that people realize like the coverage isn't going away. It's just the way that people are taking in the information.
Yeah. Hope, in your time on Newsmakers, you were always a reporter for WPR News as well. And you've always had to, you for the years that you hosted the show, you were balancing that the opportunity to talk to somebody for an entire hour about something versus the need every single day to produce a story that you could boil down into like 45 seconds of audio. Talk about how that line has how one thing has maybe informed the other.
Doing Newsmakers helped me understand the regional issues in this area, and I think it's made me a better reporter. But I think that, you know, looking to the future, I think that we can draw from the way that we approach our kind of daily and feature news to kind of inform the way we can approach regional coverage. You know, like Maureen was talking about, I think the biggest change for radio, for public radio, is really just the need to be more nimble, to be able to create, to have our content available to many different audiences. So if you want to listen to it on the radio, it's there. If you want to read it online, it's there. If you want to download it in a podcast form, it's there. Just, you know, trying to make our these really important conversations, interviews, you know, hard questions that we're asking of our newsmakers in the state, you know, we want to make those as broadly available as possible. And so I really, you know, see this transition that we're going through right now, not only WPR, but really just the broader public radio and you know, news landscape is going through, is just finding ways to make that those really important conversations, information available as broadly as possible and however people want to interact with it.
I remember back in my early days, I started in radio in 1996, and the station I worked for was a sports radio station, didn't even have a website at the time. They were still, I mean, it was, you know, there were websites. The station knew it needed a website, but like it was a new station, and they were still a couple of months away from launching a website, which was nothing more than like, you know, a shingle. Like it was like one of those one page websites with their schedule on it. And there was no content there ever during the time that I worked there. Come fast forward all these years later, we're in a position where we have choices to make right now on a local basis. When it comes to the production of newsmakers, we can produce an hour-long program, and right now we need to because that's the time we have to fill on the air. But along with that comes sacrifices. We can't produce an online version that is as robust. We can post the audio online, but we can't write an article about it. We can't, you know, break it down into multiple different segments to give people really interesting content to interact with online. But when we have a slightly shorter amount of time, we will be able to do exactly that. So that's one of the reasons behind this change too, is just the trend of the audience to some people prefer to have something to hold in their hand on their phone and read rather than, you know, listen to on the radio as they're walking or driving or whatever they happen to be doing. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, go ahead, Murray.
And I got to say, even though I understand how media habits are changing and why these changes have to take place, there is still a part of me that's very sad about the airwaves. Like,
totally.
Even when I still visit La Crosse quite a bit because some of our best friends and family are still there. And if I'm driving, listening to WPR, and I hear the theme song come on because there's a promo, dun, 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 I am transported to this place of just love. And you know, I think of all the amazing shows that we put together, me and the Johns, John Gatto and John Davis.
Yep.
And I'm just, I don't know, it's just this feeling of just deep appreciation I have for the La Crosse community and for working in the La Crosse office too. So the show has to change, and I understand that, but it still breaks my heart a little bit. But I can only look back and be really, really proud of the work that we did, because I think we all did such a great job with this show and just doing our best to really represent the community.
Well, I'm standing on some big shoulders here. I've done this show as a very, very part-time activity in addition to my regular job here at WPR just for 5 years. But when I look back at the legacy of things that we've talked about today, it's really cool. And I promised we'd play the Timothy Leary clip. So I want to get to it because it's the end of our show.
I hope it's the moment he just walks out of the interview.
It's exactly that. It's exactly that. Like Timothy Leary, John introduced Timothy Leary earlier, but he was a psychologist his research involved LSD and psychedelics and those kinds of things. And he was on Newsmakers when he was at UWL for a lecture. And to say the least, when Dr. Leary decided he was done, he was just done. Let's listen to how he ended the show, and then we'll see how we're going to end it.
Listen, I've only brought to Wisconsin about 24 pieces of wisdom, and I've run out of them now. Okay, I really don't have any more left. I've got a lecture to give. My voice is giving out. I thank your intelligent interest. I thank you for inviting me here, but I really think I better wander off now.
What a way to end an interview, huh? Just, it's over. I'm out.
It was a mic drop before the mic drop.
I know.
Nailed it.
The mic drop moment from Timothy Leary. Well, we don't have a mic drop moment, but I certainly want to thank Hope, John, Maureen. I want to thank you guys for being with me on the show today and for helping us helping us send newsmakers off in good style. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Ezra.
Thank you.
And thank you to the listeners of La Crosse.
For sure. Absolutely. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to everybody who has worked to make this show a success over 50 years. Your efforts have helped make southwestern Wisconsin a better informed place, and that's the truth. If you missed part of today's show, or as I mentioned, if you want to listen to a previous episode, our archive is always available online, WPR.org/newsmakers. That's WPR.org/newsmakers. It doesn't go all the way back to the beginning of the show, but it goes back quite a few years, so enjoy that. Remember to tune in next week as the Ideas Network 90.3 becomes part of WPR News, and NPR News and Music 88.9 becomes part of WPR Music. And whatever you're looking for from WPR, of course, you can always find it online at WPR.org. I'm Ezra Wall. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio.